It's morning. Yeah, no, it's afternoon, actually. Pardon me. This is Jason Nemro. And I am on the way to the temple and taking, about ready to get off the busy, busy road. New Mexico State Highway 209. If I were to keep following this, I would end up in Clovis, and not interested in Clovis. We're going to go down 241, apparently. Whoa! Wee-haw! There we go. Pardon me. And having a good time. Gotta tell you, how good of a time it really is. That being said, we're going past a lot of wind turbines, whirligigs, I call them. And, interesting things. It becomes a question of once these things get too old, worn out, or whatever, what do you do with them? You take each one of these things down and you replace them with a more up-to-date whirligig? Is that the plan? I don't know. But regardless, I'm continuing my wonderful journey. Today is Election Day. Oh, and I didn't really say that this might be Cohen Meanderer stuff. It's been so difficult to not get stirred up. I get stirred up most about what I wish politicians would say. And, of course, I'm not very happy with the Democratic person. It's Kamala Harris, as the Mexicans would say. We call her Kamala, which means something in Spanish. I forget what, but, you know, she is working hard to find some sweet spot between being a good leftist and trying to buy the vote of the puerile. Apparently, all poor people have absolutely no morals and are only swayed by money. And that's sick and disgusting. I used to be a poor guy. And a lot of my behaviors now are still kind of wrapped up in being poor. I try to break out of it, not to spend more, but to be, but not to be afraid to do things that normally poor people would be afraid to do. You know, one never does anything to upset the apple cart of subsidized money. If you get some money because of one situation or another, usually the biggest rule is don't upset that apple cart. Don't do things that will get you into trouble. And I found that the government is quite good at policing the poor so that they can, you know, give you less benefits or cut off your benefits. Obedience is the most important value. I don't think the money means anything to them. I think they would just give these guys $100,000 a year, but I don't think they would do that because it would eliminate the hold the government has on a reasonably big number of people. Kamala Harris considers such people her property for the purposes of who on earth cares about your constituency beyond making sure they vote for you. and only making, you know, you don't have to appeal to individuals. All you have to do is make sure that that group predominantly votes for you. That's all they care about. Most of them will just do it because they feel like it's just natural. I always vote for the Democrats. Why? Because they care about the little guy. And you go, have you been noticing how little they care about the little guy these days? It's not saying that the Republicans are caring about the little guy particularly. Not as a discrete group. I think the Republicans tend to drop taxes across the board. Now, that doesn't help poor people much because most poor people don't pay taxes. So tax cuts don't mean much to them. What they care about is, you know, how much money they can goose out of the state, you know, and one becomes kind of dependent on this. And the whole country revolves around the fact that poor people get money for things. So prices don't have to, you know, you don't have to price things so that they work well for poor people. You just don't need to. It's not necessary because they get some kickbacks. Of course, they all complain. They all, I don't get enough, and I don't get this, I don't get that. You go, yeah. You know? And you go, so why are you complaining to the Republicans? You know, it's the Democrats who are not keeping their, you know, I don't think if it's even a real thing. It's just kind of an attitude that Democrats will take care of you better. And boy, let me tell you, when I worked as a nutritionist back in the day, there was a huge thing. They got so scared. I think it was about, it would have been 90, I don't know, 94? Anyway. No, it would have been 96. I guess there was, because in 2000 there was an election. In 96, everybody in my world were getting weird about the fact that, Bush had won. And, there was all things floating around that he was going to cut costs on some of these welfare programs. And, so we were all making little handprints, little footprints of little babies and stuff like that, and impassioned little notes from the, especially the single mothers who were getting WIC benefits through our office. And boy, we were doing that. And I was just, you know, I said, I gave it over to the lady that ran the clerical side and said, whatever you need to do to get it done, get it done. And boy, she did. She was quite the supporter of making this happen. Where I was kind of like, so I said, you know, I'm just kind of a libertarian. I would just as soon us be free. 96. I'm trying to think who I may have voted for. I think I was still voting primarily for, no. If it was the second term, and I think it was, of George W. Bush, I actually listened to him to some of the debates that he went through. And he was talking a good freedom, liberty talk, which didn't really become anything. He was pandering to those people, and it pandered to me, so I actually voted for him. one of the few times I voted for Republicans without trying to magnify my wife's vote, which is what I do now. I'm stuck behind this guy who doesn't realize that I'm here. You get over a little? Just a little bit? Oh, he's not paying attention to me at all. Hello? I'd like to get around you. I need you to know I'm here so you don't come back on me. Do you see me? I gotta get around you because I don't think he's really paying attention. He's staying in the middle of the road. Normally you can because there's nobody to pass, but boy, today I'm passing. Anyway, so, I don't know if I really paid attention to that stuff too much back then. I was worried about what seemed most compatible with me. These days, I know that people like me are never going to win. Liberty is gone. Liberty is dead. On occasion, one of the main parties will talk about liberty, mostly pay lip service to it, if they feel like the election would be really close. This particular election, all the polling seems to think that it's really close. We're going to find out today, as the evening progresses, how things are going. Everybody's saying, if it's close, everybody plans on being a little weird about it. To be honest, I think it's going to go pretty soundly one way or the other. I don't think there's going to be a lot of, I don't think it's going to be close, particularly. I think there's going to be a definitive winner. Of course, it's all based on the Electoral College, which I'm sorry, is a very smart constitutional idea. The fact that it's been watered down to the point to where it's kind of weird, but that's up to each individual state that they have chosen to make the Electoral College kind of democratic, which I'm totally opposed to. The whole concept was that the Electoral College should be your smartest and wisest people in your state. Now your state gets a certain number of people to be in the electoral delegation. Now that's because the Constitution was written when there wasn't, they didn't talk about parties. So it's not in there. Now the individual governing rules of Congress and of most states, legislatures, which run their own rules about things, got caught up in this whole thing of parties really quickly. I think round about 1776, the week after a national or no, it wasn't then, but once these things were formed, parties became a huge thing quickly. George Washington as far as I'm aware of wasn't supported by any particular party. John Adams was. I think he was anti-federalist. I forget. Anyway, parties very quickly came in. And you're going, this is the way it's going to be. So the the legislative branch became this huge thing. Back in the old days, the President of the United States was whoever was in first place in the voting. The Vice President was whoever came in second, usually their primary opponent. I don't know when they managed to change up things sufficiently so that the Vice President, you know, if it was going to be today, and for instance, let's say Kamala Harris won. I'm not saying I want her to. Let's say Kamala Harris won. Her Vice President would be Donald Trump. And I'll tell you, there's no way a Vice President would have anything to do with the current administration. Because it's usually somebody that you didn't like, that you didn't want to have be a part of. And upon doing that, you know, the only point of the Vice President was to take over as president if something happened to the president. He couldn't serve anymore. And that was their only function in life. To be a Vice President was meaningless except for the continuity of the presidency if something bad happened. Otherwise, wasn't important. Except that the Vice President had a role to be the President of the Senate, and to handle tiebreaker votes, which has happened a lot. This last administration, a lot of split votes in the Senate. Of course, and so Kamala Harris had to vote the deciding vote on a few occasions. Most of the votes these days are strictly along party lines. Very few of these things ever cross them. Of course, the problem is Trump is universally hated by the establishment Republican Party. They can't stand him. The problem is now he's so popular, they just have to kind of put up with him. So right now there are often Republicans that will cross party lines, as it said, and vote with the Democrats on things just to prove that they're anti-Trump. Anyway, doesn't really matter. But yeah, this is, these people tend to do what their party tells them to do. It's very sick and sad. It makes it very easy to be a representative and, sadly, a senator. It was never envisioned. Unfortunately, it was easier in the past to do constitutional amendments. And one of the constitutional amendments made the Senate popularly elected as well. You know, the actual voters sit down and they vote for their senators. Now it's staggered so that only one of the senators ever comes up at any particular time. Anyway, but that's terrible. You know, that was, I don't know exactly what motivated that constitutional amendment, but it's turned out to be horrible. I guess people were really upset that voting didn't mean much. I mean, the popular vote only, it really doesn't choose who the president is. You know, the Electoral College decides that. The way they have it rigged in most states is it's reasonably popular, state by state. The only part of government that really tends to tends to feel like that. Anyway, oh my gosh. Uh-oh, there's police here. I can't go fast like I normally do. Or it looks like a policeman. I would doubt it. This is part of, there's feedlots over here, and this is a, this is now kind of a major little road here. Unlike usually the ones I have that aren't major at all. It looks like there's somebody by the road getting worked over. Or no, they're working on stuff. So I think it's just construction. They just have blue and red flashy lights, which I thought was something cops were, yeah, this is the DOT. I'm never a fan of the DOT having the same kind of lights as police officers. They do that because they know that'll slow you down. And that's what they want to do, you know. They want you to slow down. And you go, well, it's a public service. And you go, no, it's obnoxious and it's police state. Anyway, so it would be far better if the original intent of those who created the Constitution in the first place, the original constitutional convention, if we had stuck with what they had put into place, which is that the states choose, usually, you know, the state legislature, each individual state can come up with their own way of choosing their senators. You know, I think it was done that way. I don't think it's spelled out in the Constitution how you're going to do it. Even if it was, it's not anymore. Now it's by popular election. Which means that having two separate bodies, it's called bicameral, kind of stupid. The only thing different is senators serve for 6 years. So politicians like being elected to the Senate because they don't constantly have to be campaigning and running for their position, like representatives do, which have to stay in office, which have to get their stuff every 2 years. That's how they re-up. I am not a guy for term limits, because I think if a constituency has found somebody they really like that represents them well, they shouldn't just have to give them up on a regular basis. Those guys do it to kind of curb cronyism, or they would like to. It's never passed. I don't think it ever will. Because too many powerful people that amass that power through serving as a representative like being able to have that job pretty much until they're tired of having it. Most representatives, most U.S. representatives can serve as long as they like once they finally elected. The way that they've created churn is that as part of the House rules, you can get, number one, the graft and the kickbacks and everything. Graft and kickbacks may actually be the same, refer to the same thing. Oh no. The amount of money people amass while serving as government representatives is obscene. Also, given how much they get paid, like I think $150,000 a year, as a salary. They get a pension, I think, after serving two or three terms. That's really the only way to get many representatives to leave their seat in Congress because you go, you will be paid the same. They're often given very prestigious jobs. They usually get snapped up to be lobbyists, stuff like that. So they don't need to remain in that kind of power. Anyway, so, that's very sad. They would still like to do that with the president. They really want the presidency to be something that can be easily manipulated. And one of the easiest first ways to do that is to make sure it's popularly elected. Everybody feels like if they were popularly elected, the Democrat would always win. And that would be it. One party is always bigger than the other party. And if you make things totally by popular vote, then the tendency for the party that kept winning to keep winning will be established. Then, if you really do want to change, this happened. My grandparents lived in Clovis, and they were registered Democrats, although I think they were quite conservative. They often voted for the Republicans. They were registered Democrats so that they could vote in the Democrat primaries, because Democrat primaries tended to have a choice. You know, there would be two or three people running, but they would all be running as the Democrat. In New Mexico, it tends to be a Democrat state. Anyway, so I could just see things devolving down. And the most important races would be the Democrat primary. But you've got to understand that if you were to devolve down to that, the Democratic Party can goof around with that all they want. You know, there's the concept of the superdelegates. And most people think, oh, the Republicans have those too. They go, no, they don't. That's totally a Democrat thing. And it comes from the Democratic Party juggernaut. Everybody knew that basically the Democrats would win in the United States. I think there was 60 Democrats for every 40 Republicans. So it was that kind of split for the longest time. I think it's still that way now. There is more people that claim being Democrat, although I think it's a smaller percentage than it used to be. That didn't end up accruing to the Republicans. Everybody tends to be just kind of whatever. You know, what's swelling up are the independents. The ones that don't go with either one of those parties. They could be third party, but most of them are just unaffiliated. So, it makes it so, even though it looks like on paper that the Democrats have a mortal lock on almost everything, there's only really a handful of states where there's more Republicans than Democrats, and they're usually very inconsequential states. A small population. That's why the Democrats really love, would really love everything to be based totally on the number of votes. In total. Not broken up into little districts or states or stuff like that. Because they would probably win. They've done a good job of making sure that Democrats have always pandered to special interest groups. Republicans never really have. And they've done a really good job in schools of making sure everybody thinks that they're special little independent little free-thinking snowflakes, which they aren't. And so they all... I'm just going to Farwell. We're in Texas now. Across the border. Republicans really should have a lock, but because there are different states, and each state kind of has its own flavor a little, it's getting less and less so. It mostly ends up being urban and rural. The more rural states tend toward Republicans. The more urban states tend toward Democrats. Just because big urban places tend to be all about, I don't know. I don't know how the Democrats do such a wonderful job. I don't know. People move to big cities to get more services. And that's what the Democrats are all about, is pandering to them by giving them services in exchange for their votes. Back in the old days, it may still kind of be true. The Republicans used to be the party of fat cats, big business. I don't know if that was ever particularly true. Now it's just as likely if you come from a large corporation. Most of its leadership are Democrats, and they're going to be, you know, and they'll kind of soft pedal Democratic things. I don't know why I'm talking about this. We talk about it all the time. Anyway, I don't know. The fact that we're having a very, very close election, even though technically we should have a close election because of there are far more registered Democrats than there are registered Republicans. I'm not a member of any party. In New Mexico, you have the ability, I have chosen to decline to state. Although I'm registered, I don't vote in any primaries. And, although I was going to, I had registered as a Democrat so that I could vote for RFK Jr., Richard F. Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sure, gee whiz. I really like him. He gave every impression of being a guy that was going to crack down on some of the skullduggery that have just accreted over decades and wipe out some of the regulatory agencies that really have more to do with being in the pocket of big business, especially around food and drugs. So I was all excited about that kind of thing happening. I'm still excited. I primarily am voting for Trump personally. Number one, it's because that's who Lisa's voting for. And Lisa and I vote together. I'm sorry to say that it's usually I just end up voting for the person that Lisa's voting for. Because she just will not vote for anybody besides somebody she wants. It's difficult to get her to compromise, although she has, you know, like this time our local county commissioner, a libertarian, was running, and I liked his thoughts, and mostly about getting out of the way of things that want to happen here. If somebody wants to open some kind of a business or bring something here, he doesn't want to prevent it from happening. He doesn't want to stand in the way. Those people say, well, we don't want evil things to come in. And you go, well, I don't know. You guys were pretty big on the Racino. The only thing that made the Racino not happen was that it just kept falling apart. And Tucum Carry, grand Tucum Carry style, seems to just flub everything. Everything that could be had, Tucum Carry can't manage to get it. There's some of the things that Santa Rosa has gotten, goes like that. Anyway, sometimes it's because the public doesn't want it. Other times it's just basic incompetence, I think, or lack of any particular will. Anyway, so I should probably stop now and go ahead and take a look. It's 5:00 in the evening in Texas. That means most of the East Coast has either finished loading or is getting ready to finish. I don't think they keep their polls open too terribly late. And we're going to start hearing just how much is really going on. I don't know how many states will actually be called, but we'll find out. New Mexico, pretty solidly still red. I think it's just become that. The eastern side of the state is definitely blue, but it just can't come against Albuquerque and Santa Fe, which are firmly Democratic. And the third biggest city, what's the third biggest city? Las Cruces. Same thing there. Anyway, so I've decided to stop experimenting with different encodings and stuff like that. We're going to stick with Ogg Vorbis. And it can be heard. It's not particularly all that efficient, but it's open source. I prefer open source. I think MP3 is about ready just to go kind of open source too, pretty soon. Anyway, well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop talking there. You've been listening to the Cohen Meanderer. This is Jason Devereaux. Have a great day.